In the early days, we spoke of AIDS in terms of the three M's. Now, the three M's are not those little chocolate sweets. Remember them?
Yeah.
But no, the three M's were men, mobility, and money. If men have money, they're mobile. And that did push it around. But it was the men were spreading it, but the women are carrying it and are the people who suffer most from it. And with us in Africa, in many of the African countries, maybe about 55% of those who are infected are women. It's a different picture in the more developed world, where the bigger proportion is men. It's about 59% men, I think. But I see it very largely as a disease that is going to be maintained amongst us as long as the subjugation of women is there. And that subjugation is universal. We see it everywhere, even in the developed countries, even here in Ireland. I think you see a certain amount of it. I was in Jamaica a number of years ago and speaking with university girls there. And there are, strangely, in Jamaica and many of those islands, there are more women than men in well, I think there are here now, more women than men in the universities. The men didn't go in for that kind of thing. It was a woman's area. And I used to say to them, well, why is it your top rank in the banks, your top rank in the civil service, your top rank in academia? Why is it that we said we're top rank, but you shut that bedroom door and we're not top rank? That's where it stops. Now, how do you get an equality between a man and a woman in that situation?
Just unpack that a wee bit for me, because you were saying about subjugation. Is it that the woman must be available for sex? Is that the understanding? Or is explain that for me.
Well, I suppose it depends upon the different cultures. But in the culture in many of the parts of Africa, there is a fairly relaxed way of dealing with sex. And one of the issues is what we call multiple concurrent partnerships. Now, the strange thing is that in countries like England, I presume Ireland, I don't have the statistics for Ireland, but France, the United States, a man in a lifetime is likely to have more partners than a man in Zambia or South Africa. But they're serial, one after another. Whereas with us, they can be going on at the same time. Now, that's the difference that makes all the difference. Yeah, because if they're going on at the same time and one of them has, obviously they're having other partners and somehow has picked up the disease, it will come into that whole sequence, whole network. Whereas if it's serial, it's only one at a time and it's found and it's stopped or held in check. And one of the great things they've found now about the drugs, of course, is that if a person is on the drugs, taking them, and is reasonably healthy otherwise, most unlikely that they will transmit the disease. And so even in a serial partnership, if one of them has it and is on the drug, is not going to transmit. In the concurrent partnership, there are so many that you just can't be certain of all that.
It's an amazing insight that to think that an issue like patriarchy or women being at the end of the day,
subjugation. That's my word.
That's the word, and that's what it is, that it can have an effect that is lethal, potentially lethal, and so widespread, and that whilst we can develop drugs to stop the spread of this and halt it in its progression, the actual changing or removal of something like this depends on a struggle that is quite profound and continuing to this day.
Absolutely. It is calling for a very radical social transformation within society. And I'm very happy to say that UNAIDS, the United Agency that deals with this, has seen that now, and social transformation is part of its agenda now. And they're putting resources into that. Not enough resources, I would feel, but the resources are going into it. But that won't work if it's just coming from one agency, or if it's only coming from a certain limited area. That has to come from a whole lot of areas simultaneously.
you're a Jesuit, your commitment is to a faith that does justice. This is clearly a fundamental justice issue then at its very core.
Oh, absolutely.
Does your faith help you in that way? Is it what drives you?
Oh, that is what would motivate me. I mean, to be able to help people to live, to be alive. It was Saint Gregory the Great, or one of the saints, said, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. And that's what I want to see, that the people are fully alive. Not that they're taking drugs to stay alive, but that they are fully alive. Because even with the drugs, there are areas now, the United States in particular, where the drug treatment has been, they've been on the drug treatment now for 20 years, and they're finding very unusual things in people in their mid-50s to the mid-60s, early dementia, Alzheimer's, cancers that shouldn't be there, heart problems, kidney problems, liver problems, more prominent in people who are on the drugs than in people who are not on the drugs. And that's not being fully alive. I want to see people fully alive, able to live as the life expectancy is now, into their 80s and 90s, and enjoying life and happy in life, and able to praise and glorify God through their lives. So that's the faith dimension that I see in it.